Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. The date is Thursday, March 21st, 2013. Present at the table are Senator Fairclough, Senator Bishop, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, and Co-Chair Meyer, and myself, Senator Kelly. Today we're going to take up the draft of the operating budget. We have subcommittees have done their work, and they are here to report their actions. Later on, we'll go through just a kind of a brief overview of what the subcommittees do. We have Karen Rayfield, the Director of Management and Budget here. Are you okay, Karen, as far as your... Okay. Karen had had some work done on some dental work, and we just were real concerned that we don't tax her too much. Let's see. We have James Armstrong at the table, and James, if you could walk us. First of all, let's draft the blank CS as a working draft. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt CS. Senate CS for House Bill number 65, looks like it's / I, as an ICE, as our working document.
Are there objections? Hearing none, version I has been adopted as our working draft. Mr. Armstrong, would you walk us through the various changes? And everyone should have in their packet. Would you just describe what everyone should have in their packet?
Just procedurally, James Armstrong, staff to Senator Kelly, you need a motion to adopt the work draft for the House Bill 66, the mental health.
We just did.
66.
We just did 65. We need to do the mental health bill.
Nice catch. Oh, I see. And James, would you move that microphone a little closer to you, please? Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 66. / P as our working document.
Any objections to that? Hearing none, version P is adopted.
Through the chair, just some procedural and information for the public and members. Every member should have a binder.
James, just one thing. Can you get that microphone just a little bit closer? I'm struggling here to hear you.
Is that better? Oh, thank you. Every member should have a binder that has the narratives from the subcommittees and the budget action sheets from the subcommittees. We're working, given the fact that of the oil bill put us a little behind. There's three or four narratives that aren't in that book, and they will be in there sometime today. So. The public has all of the budget action sheets that have been distributed. There is three documents from Legislative Finance. I've labeled them 1, 2, and 3. The first one is the overall spend of the operating budget. It's the numbers and language. It has all funds. The second one is just the general fund component of the budget. And the third one is a list of all fund sources that are being spent in this budget. So it has comparisons to the governor and the House. Insofar as the Senate budget, it spends $5,798,086 of unrestricted general funds, $746,069,000 of designated general funds, and this is listed on page 2 in column 5 of number 1. I'm sorry, I should have prefaced that earlier.
That's sitting on your desks, not in the binder. It's probably in the binder, but you have one on your desk marked
number
1.
It's in the column 5 of page 2 of document number 1 from Ledge Finance. Other state funds is $1,277,568,000. And federal receipts total $2,029,591,000. The total Senate operating budget, if you go back to the first page on the bottom of column 5, is 9 billion $851,316,700. This budget, in comparison to the governor's submitted amended budget in total funds, is $62,659,500 below.
Just a little break here. James, did you mention the amount of unrestricted general funds?
Yes.
Yeah. Just for purposes of what we spend, I think it's appropriate to highlight that so that
it's the first on page 2, $5,798,086,300 of unrestricted general funds.
Yeah, if you didn't mention that, I just want to make sure we got that on the record so that it isn't reported that we're spending $9 billion of state funds. Go ahead.
I could walk members, I think the plan of attack is to walk members through the changes we made to the House in the language section.
Before you do, just I want to make a comment. we go through a fairly rigorous process here to come to our conclusions in the budget. But before that happens, the governor goes through the same process, as does the Board of Regents, as do the other quasi-governmental agencies before they submit their budgets. And I've been a part of putting budgets together over the past few years, and they're usually very contentious and very stressful. I just want to thank Karen, the work that you guys did before this budget got to us. I know that there was in excess of $1 billion cut before we got to it. And I just want to highlight the work that you did and how cooperative your people have been with us. It is greatly appreciated. And I think it's one of the reasons why we're on schedule here, even though we've had this oil tax bill that has just sap the life force out of everyone. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you and let people know that this isn't just the first step in the process. It is a step in many steps, and the governor and you deserve some credit. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
I point members to the bill, House Bill 65, and I can walk you through the changes that we did to the House.
Yeah, which sheet are we looking at, James?
To the piece, this working CS that you have, I would first of all, let me explain items that were removed that you won't see in the bill that the House adopted.
Okay.
There was a military and veterans affairs language that dealt with the Alaska Aerospace Corporation, saying if they didn't secure a multi-year contract by X amount of time, that $3 million would be decremented from their budget. That was removed, and that would be a conferenceable item later. There was a provision in the governor's budget that collects fees from the bulk fuel revolving loan fund. That fund goes away next year, so the $45,000 that was supposed to go on the revolving loan fund now just goes to the general fund. There was a $10 million capitalization to AEA, Alaska Energy Authority. That was taken out of this budget, and it'll be a conferenceable item. And the last one that we took out of language, there was an increment in the House, or in the other body, excuse me, that added a mining professor at the University of Alaska here in Juneau. That was in the language section. That funding is contained in the numbers section of this budget, so we removed it. I would point members to page 58 of the working draft. It's page on lines 26 through 31, and then it continues on to page 59, lines 1 through 4. And Mr. Teal can assist me if there's any questions on this. from legislative finance. In the governor's submitted budget, they for the PCE program, $33,091,000 from the kind of the, what's the word? from the endowment. What the endowment gains in interest each year is used to fund the program, and $7,260,000 of general fund supplements that for a total program of $40,351,000. In FY11, a large deposit was made to the endowment and of $400 million. So the general fund subsidies are getting lower and lower and lower based on a three-year average calculation of fund balance. In FY15, the fund balance is on the GF subsidy, not subsidy, GF complement to the program is supposed to go away as the $400 million hits into the three-year rolling average. So this proposal, we took the $7 million of general fund savings and took $7 million, $260,000 from the endowment core. So we've had discussions, and we're going to work on some backstop language for this year if it's needed, and next year in case the fund doesn't earn what it's expected to. So if there's any questions on that.
Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, I'm sure have some questions. Senator Hoffman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I just would request that I get a copy of the impacts of this change to the endowment itself, what it will be producing. And I don't need that later on today.
Sure. Yeah, and Mr. Thiel, if you could give us a narrative on that, make sure Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, well, all of us need it. But if you could, at this point, perhaps walk the committee through your read on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Thiel, Director of Legislative Finance Division. And I do have a spreadsheet here that's projections of the fund balances and with and without this payout, okay, which I can give to Donnie to hand out to the committee.
Okay.
There's very little difference in the long run. It amounts to the endowment is now sufficient that the payout from the endowment will drop to below 6%. It's currently at 7%. When the balance is fully phased in to the average balance computation, so that we expect the balance to begin to grow in this endowment without, and that fully funds the PCE program. There's also backstop language already in the bill in Section G, page 58, where it says if that $40 million is insufficient for this year, the additional money will come from the general fund to fully fund the PCE program.
Senator Bishop, was your question answered there? Okay. Anyone else, Senator Olson?
Yeah. On that, put that line and page number to me again. 58 line what?
G.
It was G, subsection G.
Through the chair.
Marta, could you pull Mr. Thiel's microphone a little closer?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the Section G continues on page 59.
Okay. The $40 million is 9.6 Section 1. Is
that correct? Bottom line here is that the impact on PCE payment is not going to change, and the impact on the endowment is minimal, and it continues to grow under the scenarios that you have in your spreadsheet, correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Senator Hoffman?
And Mr. Thiel, you said the backstop language is in or will be put in.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, if you look at Section G on page 58, very bottom of the page, it says if the amount appropriated in F, which is the $40 million from the endowment, is not sufficient to pay power cost equalization program costs without proration, the amount necessary to pay power cost equalization costs without proration, it's estimated to be zero, but if there is a shortage, that the shortage will be appropriated from the general fund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thiel. Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
Point members, page 60. Lines 19 through 23. This is a reapprop of a multi-year appropriation made in FY13 in the Department of HESS. Those funds last year were $9 million. It's estimated there's $6 million left. Those funds are reappropriated into the FY14 behavior Medicaid component for the Department of HESS. And it'd be Senator Olson had the HESS budget, so you can answer any other further questions, if that's fine.
Did you want to comment on that, Senator Olson, or do you want to wait till later when you give your report?
We'll wait till a little later, okay. Mr. Chairman. That way we can get through everything and then do everything at one time.
Go ahead. Mr. Renfro.
I'm sorry, moving up on same page, lines 10 through 18. This is with the LIHEAP program, the Low-Income Heating and Energy Assistance Program. This section is just a backstop provision that Lit Finance and the subcommittee worked on, and just says if there's insufficient federal funds this year, that general funds will come in and fund the program. Page 62, line 23. This is a change to the DNR's Division of Oil and Gas request. In the governor's request, there was a $300,000 increment for this. This legislation fully funds it. In the other body, the increment was denied, so that'll be a conferenceable item between $500,000 and $800,000.
Right.
And the last change in the language section, page 72, lines 12 through 13. This deals with the Trauma Care Fund. The governor's request asked for $2 million. The other body did not fund it, and this legislation does fund it. So, again, it'll be a conferenceable item.
Okay.
And those are the changes to the language section.
Questions from the committee? Okay. Thank you. I'm going to take a brief at ease. back on the record. At this point, let's go around and have the subcommittees give their reports. And really, we don't need to get too involved. Just give the highlights and what's in, what's out. Go ahead, Senator Meyer. You're the first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I had the Department of Transportation and also the Commerce Committees. First, I'll start with the Department of Transportation. We did make some reductions in transportation, a total of about $7.1 million. Most of this comes from the Alaska Marine Highways budget, a total of $4.26 million. And that had to do with vessel fuel and vessel operations. In talking to the commissioner, they thought that they could absorb these reductions without seeing any major impact to service. Also, in Department of Transportation, actually a recommendation from a colleague here in the Finance Committee, we reduced fleet reductions of $2.7 million, and that was spread throughout the northern, central, southeast regions equally. So that was pretty much the Department of Transportation. Commerce, we made a reduction of about $3.9 million there. A lot of this had to do with grants to name recipients that were in the operating budget that typically are in the capital budget. And so we weren't making any recommendations that these were not good or bad projects, just that we felt like they should be in the capital budget and not in the operating budget. So that was $1.1 million. And then we made a couple reductions to the ABC board. Again, when that was transferred from Department of Safety to Commerce, I thought the money was going to come with it. Apparently it didn't or wasn't enough. Anyway, there was enough question mark discrepancy there that we felt like for now that we could make that reduction. So that was about a total of $3.9 million. In a nutshell, Mr. Chairman, that's what we did in those two departments.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, I'd like to have my Chief of Staff, Denise Miccioli, come on up and give those reports.
Denise, where are you? Oh, there you are.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Denise Liccioli, and I am staff to Senator Olson. The first budget that Senator Olson had is the Health and Social Services budget, and the unrestricted general funds that we authorized for that was $1.2 billion. The designated general funds was $74.1 million. Other funds were $94.7 million, and federal funds were $1.2 billion, for a grand total of almost $7 billion in the total budget. And that's just the number section, not the language section. Overall, this budget proposal is about just a little less than $1.2 million less of GF than what the governor asked for in his budget, and about $489,000 less than the governor's total budget request. A few of the biggest differences between what the governor requested and what we did with this budget. The first is that we did not accept the requested increase in Medicaid for what they call, referred to as the Woodwork effect. That was $7,385,000.3 total, $2,818,000 of GF. We added almost $1.1 million for the Alaska Medicare Clinic. We added $450,000 as a one-time item for the Complex Behavior Collaborative, and we added $565,000 of GF to increase the emergency medical services grants, and then we made a $6 million reduction to the Behavioral Health Medicaid Services component, and that refers back to the item that James explained that's the reappropriation in the language section of the bill. One other important item that we did in that budget, it has to do with intent and that is that we did put intent in the budget that allows the commissioner the authority to move up to $50 million of funds within the budget between appropriation lines. That's highly unusual, but we felt it was necessary and important to give the department the flexibility so that they could react to whatever cuts might come about due to the sequester or other items in the state budget, and to help prevent the need for any supplemental. And that's the presentation for the Health and Social Services budget, if there are any questions.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Was that complete your testimony?
That's for Health and Social Services.
Oh, yes, my apologies, budget. You're right.
Okay. Public safety to go next.
On the public safety budget, Mr. Chairman, we authorized $176 million of unrestricted general funds and $6.4 million of designated general funds, $15.3 million of other funds, and $10.8 million of federal funds, for a grand total of $208,790,000 in the total budget. Overall, this budget proposal is $707,200 below the governor's request, and that's from two items, well, actually two areas. The first area is that we disapproved the request for three new troopers and $827,000 for a new sex trafficking unit. And the second item is that we added $120,000 of general funds to increase the Victims for Justice funding. And the other thing that we did that I think is especially important to note, especially given the in light of yesterday's events, where we lost a VPSO Mandol, I believe is his how you say his name, and I'm sorry if I've mispronounced it, that we wanted to see the program continue to be strengthened as the governor has been doing, and that to give the Senate VPSO task force credit for starting it. And so we did add intent to this language, asking them to work with the grantees to determine what other needs they have that are unmet currently, and what we can do to meet them within this budget, and also to use any anticipated savings that they would have from vacancies and turnover in VPSO positions to put it back into the program for things like housing and equipment and such. And with that, that's the presentation.
Just to highlight on that, the sex trafficking unit, as I understand, there have been no cases. That was the rationale?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. There's no cases involved on either side for that period of time, and there seems to be no activity. Okay. So that's why we decided to pull it.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Dunleavy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to ask my assistant, Sheila Peterson, to come up and help deliver the summary.
Good morning. My name is Sheila Peterson, staff to Senator Dunleavy. The Department of Education's unrestricted general funds was $66,554,400. The designated general funds is $24,319. Other funds is $26,051,400. And the federal funds is $233,798,000 for a total of $350,722,008. It's interesting to note that in the Department of Education, the federal funds is 3.5 times the funds for general fund. And this is the agency's budget. Most of the federal funds do go out as grants to the school districts. Funded the Digitizing Education Alaska Initiative with a reduction of $738,000. This is a program to digitize the way instruction is offered in the state of Alaska. The cut can be divided among the four different programs that are offered. Did decide to eliminate a new program called Jobs for America's Graduate Program. And this is a new program whose startup can start at a different time. There was cuts to the early childhood program that matches what was done in the other body. the rationale was a strong support for early childhood programs. Not sure which program is giving the best performance for the dollars, and would like to study the data that's going to be coming in. For the Department of Environmental Conservation, there was a reduction for two programs that totaled $446,500, and those were two requests for increased staff time. It is projected that the monies in the base can cover the remaining half that we cut out. There was a reduction in a strengthening of the intent language that came from the House dealing with the Oil and Hazardous Substance Release Prevention and Response Fund. I might note that the general funds was $21,784,500. The designated funds were $26,895,000. Other funds was $11,199,200. Federal funds, $24,938,700. For a total of $84,817,600. Might note that the oil and hazardous funds is more than half of the designated general funds, and this fund is expected to be in a deficit next year. So the intent language was to direct the Department of Environmental Conservation to come up with ways to finance and manage this fund, as well as to report back to the legislature on how they are looking at having some system efficiencies or cost efficiencies within the in the department. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Sheila. Senator Dunleavy, your other DEC and Fish and Game?
Yes, I'd like to ask my assistant Steve Ricci to come up and present.
Is this DEC?
This is, no, we just did DEC.
I'm sorry.
This is Fish and Game.
Fish and Game.
Good morning. I'm staff to Senator, I'm Steve Ricci. I'm staff to Senator Dunleavy. The Senate Fish and Game Budget Subcommittee recommended a total of $79,971,400 in unrestricted general funds, $8,586,600 designated general funds, $62,849,200 of other funds, and $63,337,800 in federal funds, which the subcommittee reduced unrestricted general fund spending by 1.1% from the governor's amended budget. The total agency budget is $214,745,000. The committee made the following significant changes, amongst other changes in the budget. They approved a $400,000 increment of general fund dollars for Southeast Port Sampling Program in the Commercial Fisheries Division, which is used to manage mixed stock fisheries in the area. Along similar lines, the committee also approved $273,000 general fund dollars for mixed stock sampling in Upper Cook Inlet, provided weir funding for the Kodiak area for $100,000 unrestricted general fund dollars, in the AYK area for $150,000, and Cook Inlet for $238.5. The committee took two unallocated reductions to reduce general fund spending. One for $579,900, which is a three-year average of a lapse balance, which equals 0.73% of the total general fund request for the FY14 budget. The other one is a $316,000 reduction, which equals 5% of the agency's travel budget. And then lastly, under significant action, $436,200 of general fund dollars to leverage roughly $1.8 million in federal funds for the Wildlife Conservation Division. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Senator Bishop.
Brief at ease?
Sure. Back on the record, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. We're ready to roll out how many budgets did everybody else? I had four.
Some had three, some had okay. Two.
Good, so I got four. I just want that for the record. Newbie. One I know pretty well. The other two I might need a lifeline on, but bear with me. I think we'll get through this pretty seamless. My Department of Corrections subcommittee members, for the record, I just wanted to, myself, had Senators Dyson and Senators Ellis. Basically, we accepted the House changes, which was same as the governor's amended budget, which is $332,760.6. There was a fund source change of $2 million from UGF to federal receipts for the housing of federal prisoners. There was also a $5.5 million fund change from PFD criminal to the UGF due to decreased garnishments. Some of the concerns from the department was a point of concern. They were concerned at the rate in which we're going. It's anticipated that the prison population is rising, and by 2017 there could be an ever-increasing need for more women's capacity, and we might need to be looking at preparing for that. I'd like to just say a couple of footnotes in the corrections to budget here is I'm tentatively planning to take this subcommittee to Bethel this summer, yet to be determined a time, working with Senator Hoffman's office on planning and coordinating that and having our subcommittee work in Bethel. There is a overcrowding situation. I know the senator knows the issue better than I do, and personally I think it's imperative that we get out in some of our rural communities with our members when we're looking at these issues. So any questions on the corrections? I'll go to DMVA if there's no questions. Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, at the end of the day, there was a fund source change of decrement of $405,000, and that's it was our budget came in less than the governor's amended. There is a footnote here. There's going to be $8 million. We had a change from the House to $8 million to fully fund the Alaska Aerospace in support of anticipated contracts that the department assures us are forthcoming. There's intent language clarifying that the Alaska Aerospace will not request more than the $6 million in FY 2015 and $4 million in FY 16 and $2 million in FY 17, and the general has assured me that that plan is all he's going to need forthcoming. No further questions. We'll go to the Department of Natural Resources, and I'd like to thank those committee members as well, and that was Senators Giesel, Senators Machicki, and Senators Wilikowski. The Department of Natural Resources, we came in less The Senate subcommittee came in less than the governor's amended budget by $2,276,000 for a total of $159,405. We moved funding of the arbitration of oil and gas royalty and the AGIA monitoring and advising sections to the language portions of the bill due to the historical inability to accurately predict these actual expenditures. And it's hard to anticipate those going forward, and so we felt that was the best intent to cover that section is put it in the language section. Also, we maintain the ability to the department to staff the guide concession program while declining any new money for implementation of the program until such time that the legislature approves appropriate legislation. And that was stressed to us by the department. They didn't want to lose that institutional knowledge in anticipation going forward. If we do pass legislation here, that knowledge wouldn't be lost. And so that was the genesis behind that. Lastly, the one budget that I have a little familiarity with is the Department of Labor's budget. And the governor's, we came in $550,000 less than the governor's amended budget. And I'd like to thank my Department of Labor subcommittee folks and Senators Geisel and Gardner and myself. We did not accept the $200,000 AVTEC increment. They have the ability to run a reg package and to slightly raise tuitions. That's been an ongoing increment increase request from the department and AVTEC. They do have the ability to take care of that in-house, so we didn't accept that. We did maintain the ability of the department to prepare Alaska workers for what is anticipated to be a significant increase, and I want to emphasize significant increase in oil exploration development related activities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Fairclough, just a quick thing about the CS. It includes for the university, which you had, there was a decrement on maintenance and operations in the operating budget that we restored in the CS. It was $1 million GF, as well as a custodial contract, which we should have been in the adjusted base. Just those two plus the aviation program at UAF for $130,000.
So. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to report out on three different budgets. First, the Department of Administration. I would like to acknowledge and thank David Teal, Amanda Ryder, and their capable staff for helping us find our way and follow the money. In the Department of Administration, the subcommittee made a change to the structure of the ALMAR payments on behalf of the municipalities. Previously, those monies were directed to the Department of Commerce and then transferred to the Department of Administration, so it's a structural change. We made that change so the payments would go directly, as I said before, to the Department of Administration for $500,000 undesignated GF. We also reduced the authorization of the Violence Crimes Compensation Board to more closely align with the anticipated funds available in the Crime Victims Compensation Fund. In total, we allocated $336,249,700, of which $86 million was $86 million was unrestricted general funds, and $24 million was designated funds. My second department was the Department of Revenue. One major change in this budget was the subcommittee funded two positions that were transferred from the Department of Commerce. We thought the money would follow also to the Department of Revenue for the Film Tax Credit Office, or the Film Credit. Film Tax Office, sorry. Commerce did not transfer these funds, and that was an add of $198,000 in undesignated general funds. In total for the Department of Revenue, we allocated $350,068,800, of which Almost $33 million was undesignated general funds, and almost $10 million was designated general funds. One other highlight there, Mr. Chairman, was accepting the governor's recommendation of an additional master auditor for oil and gas. Moving on to the University of Alaska, the subcommittee reduced the university's receipt authority by $36 million. This is a recommendation from legislative finance. The university still has sufficient funds and receipt authority with this reduction to cover their receipt needs. We funded a comprehensive student advising university-wide for $400,000, the mining regulatory training certificate program for $200,000, and the small business development center for $356,000. Mr. Chairman, there are other specifics you asked me to highlight, highlight the most significant ones. We did make sure that the university could fund their basic fixed costs, and other highlights include the press office, which we heard a lot about. So just for those that might be listening, we had many students here asking about that early on in the session, as well as enhancements to the e-learning program. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, just a comment on that as well. The couple of items that I mentioned were not done over the objection of the chairman or anything like that. We just had discussed a little something about maintenance. I was actually a little concerned that we've talked so much about maintenance, and then that was missing from the governor's budget. So it was restored, and as I said, it wasn't done with any friction between the subcommittee chair or the co-chair's office. Thank you all very much. I'll go through mine really quickly, and then we can get down to the floor. We had the governor's budget. The unrestricted general fund for the governor's budget was $28,881,000, and the federal funds are $198,000. The designated funds were $4.9 million, and other funds were $521,700. There were $700. The total was $29,606, rounded off, and there were no significant changes, and it is the same as the governor's request. With the legislature, we reduced, I'll just go through the rough numbers first. The unrestricted general funds were $73,527,000. The designated general funds were $71,400,000. Other funds, $403,000, and no federal funds. We reduced expenses in the Legislative Finance Committee by $250,000 and $350,000 in other committee expenses. In the court system, $110,196,000 were the unrestricted general funds. The designated funds were $518,000. Other funds were $1,801,000. And the federal funds were $1,675,000. The total were on that, the total money on that was $114,191,000. The highlights were that we took $689,000 to replace federal pass-through funding for the therapeutic courts. We allocated $114,300 to fund a security analyst position. We allocated $691,000 for increased bandwidth to meet needs in rural Alaska. In law, that was the total highlights on the court system. In law, unrestricted, $63,352,000. The designated were $2,698,000. Other funds, $28,432,000. And federal funds, $1,966,000, for a total of $96,450,000. We allocated three-quarter of the requested funding for the new attorney positions in the Fairbanks, Bethel, and Juneau area. Recruitment will begin on July 1, so it really wasn't necessary to fund the full positions, but we did replace from what the House had recommended, as well as three-quarter funding for the two new attorney positions with Natural Resources section of the Civil Division for statehood defense. That was not in the governor's request. That was not in the House. That was added because we think it's necessary to have those positions for statehood defense, because that's a big thing that we've been trying to do lately. That's my report for the courts, the law, legislature, and the governor. And that finishes our reports. Mr. Armstrong, was there? We were going to ask Ms. Rayfield to come up quickly. Can you make some fairly quick comment so we can get on to the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Karen Rayfield with the Office of Management and Budget. I really don't have a lot of comments at this time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the work of your committees. Really appreciate your time, your staff, and, of course, Legislative Finance. We'll be looking through the recommendations, and I know you have a process in front of you, so we'll certainly work with your office if there are things that we feel that we need to bring forward for your consideration.
Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Rayfield, where do we stand on contracts?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, we were successful in negotiating agreements with the confidential employees, the general government, and supervisory unit. We did provide the finance committees with those bargaining unit agreements and costs on March 19th. So hopefully there will be some consideration for including those bargaining unit agreements in the operating budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Senator Hoffman. And for everyone's information, the non-coverage has to happen, the increase to the non-coverage to match has to happen in a separate bill.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. James?
I'm just clean up before you adjourn today. The bill is posted on the Internet, and all of the company and ledge finance reports are on the Internet for when we start public testimony tomorrow. Start at 9 a.m. with the first group is Bethel, Nome, Kotzebue, and Unalaska. And in a previous memo that this office sent out, the amendment deadline was this Saturday at 4. It's been extended to Monday at high noon. So those are the only other cleanup things that I had.
Okay. James, was there anything else scheduling-wise that we need to comment on? Okay. And we're going to adjourn, not recess. We're done essentially here, right?
We're done for the day.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Great work, guys. I really appreciate it. We'll be back to do more of this, so we're adjourned.